Chevalier de la table ronde, goûtons voir si le vin est bon. Chevalier de la table ronde, goûtons voir si le vin est bon.
Good evening. My name is Alexis Lichine. This record is dedicated to one of the most civilized manifestations of man, the appreciation and enjoyment of fine wines. Knowing fine wines is not only fun intellectually and aesthetically, but drinking fine wines is one of the great joys of life. What pleasure there is in inhaling the bouquet of a good wine, observing its color, tasting the delicious liquid, and enjoying the exhilarating afterglow which rises within the soul while consuming a bottle of fine wine.
This is Clifton Fadiman. I know of no nobler celebration of wine in all English verse than Hilaire Belloc's heroic poem in praise of wine. Here are its opening lines. To exalt, enthrone, establish, and defend, to welcome home mankind's mysterious friend, wine, true begetter of all arts that be, wine privilege of the completely free, wine the recorder, wine the sagely strong, wine bright avenger of sly dealing wrong, awake, Ausonian muse, and sing the vineyard song.
Wine has been the good companion of man from almost the beginning of time. Its appearance marked the first introduction of what we now call civilization. With the planting of the grapevine, man really became domesticated, rooted to the soil, so to speak. For the first time, man had to wait more than weeks and months for the vine he had planted to produce grapes. He had to wait a long time, 4 years in fact, for it takes 4 years for a newly planted vine to give forth its fruit. It was during this waiting period that man created civilization. He had to develop some sort of social structure. He no longer ate his food raw. He learned to cook. He learned to build shelter. He tamed animals, and he himself took a stride forward into what became civilization and culture. But how did man learn to make wine? No one really knows, but here's a charming legend.
An ancient Persian king who was very fond of grapes and who was afraid they might be stolen, for they were a precious fruit at that time, had stored some away in a great stone jar. To ward off theft, he wrote across the lid the word poison. Many months passed, and time did its work on the grapes in the jar. One day, a beautiful young girl, a member of the king's harem, who had fallen into disfavor with the king, came upon the great stone jar marked poison. The despairing beauty, fed up with her young life, dipped her cup into the jar and drank. She waited. Nothing happened. But somehow she liked the taste of the poison, and so she drank another cup. Again she waited. Still death did not come. As a matter of fact, she began to feel full of life and zest. Her spirits rose. So she brought a cup of the remarkable liquid to the king. The king cautiously tasted it and became so entranced with this product of the grape, which of course had turned to wine, that he took the young, despairing girl back into his favor. And from that day on, they not only made love, but they drank wine together.
And so the art of winemaking had been so deliciously discovered. Now, learning about fine wines is one of the most pleasant pursuits known to man, and it is that pursuit upon which we now embark. The greatest wines come from France. And there are 1,500,000 wine growers in France. One person out of every seven is directly or indirectly connected with wine. A remarkable statistic. In France, the greatest wine growing areas are in the neighborhood of the city of Bordeaux and in Burgundy. There is nothing mysterious about French wines, though to be sure their names at first make you think that you're being introduced to dark Kabbalistic secrets. The names of the various wines are simply place names. Therefore, to learn about French wines is to learn something of the geography of France. You will learn where the town of Chablis is. You will learn where Vouvray is, and Sauterne, and Saint-Emilion, Pommard, Châteauneuf-du-Pape, and the Médoc. For it is these places, these towns, and districts which give the names to the wines we drink. Let us begin with Bordeaux. It is a seaport, 60 miles from the Atlantic Ocean on the Garonne River. This is an induction ceremony of the Bordeaux wine growers and shippers, the Commanderie du Bon Temps. This colorful ceremony is held periodically in the vineyards of Bordeaux.
Oyez, gentes dames et demoiselles, gentils hommes et demoiselles, la Commanderie du Bon Temps de Médoc et de Graves vous salue. Par le bon temps, pour le bon temps, grave et Médoc.
Bordeaux was an English possession for over 300 years, and though France regained the city and the surrounding vineyards in the 15th century, the English still call the wines of Bordeaux claret, a corruption of the French word claret. There are still English families in the wine business of Bordeaux today. Wine has romantic connotations, but it is also big business in Bordeaux. You will find wine brokers there, stock exchange quotations on wine, speculation on the possible future prices of certain vintages and growths. All the wine of Bordeaux is sold through the brokers who act as go-betweens for grower and buyer. It is he who certifies that the wine which he has bought is genuine and in good condition. The shippers buy from the brokers and send the wine of Bordeaux to every corner of the globe. This is why, especially for district or regional blended wines, the name of the shipper which you read in the label of the bottle of wine you've bought is so important to you. It is your guarantee of excellence. Come then into my warehouse in Bordeaux, which we call a chai. This is a case of fine wine from the Médoc, a narrow strip of land just north of Bordeaux. While the Médoc stretches some 60 miles, the best wine in this region comes from the area nearest Bordeaux called the Haut Médoc. In this area, you will find the villages of Margaux, Saint-Julien, Pauillac, and Saint-Estèphe. From these four villages come the great wines of Château Lascombe, Château Margaux, Château Latour, Château Mouton Rothschild, and Château Lafitte Rothschild. This case of wine which we are following on the automatic belt comes from a neighboring vineyard, Château Lascombe. Now it has reached the room where the bottle is dressed. The manager of this department speaks to one of the workers.
Ici, nous sommes dans la salle de préparation où nous faisons le capsulage, l'étiquetage, l'essuyage des bouteilles. Nous faisons la caisse entièrement complète, l'étampage, l'agrafage et nous essuyons les bouteilles qui arrivent de la cave. Et nous faisons toute la préparation nécessaire pour les bouteilles pour l'Amérique.
What you just said is that we are in the room where the bottles are prepared for shipment. This is where they are washed, where the tin foil is applied on them, where they are labeled, where finally they are put in cases to be shipped to all parts of the world.
The boys are now loading the cases of wine onto the trucks. These trucks will take these cases to the piers just across the street. This is where the boats are waiting at anchor in the Garonne River. This river, as you know, empties out into the Atlantic Ocean, and this is from this one harbor in Bordeaux that the Bordeaux wine will be shipped to all parts of the world.
Chateau bottled wine is one where the bottler of the wine is also the owner of the vineyard. He holds a license from the government to bottle his own wine and no others. In other words, Mr. Aymar Achilfould, who owns the vineyards of Chateau Bechevel, cannot buy wine from another vineyard, cart it to his chateau and bottle it there under his name. This would be a serious offense and bears heavy penalties. On the wine bottle labels appear the words Appellation Contrôlée. We would freely interpret the words to mean that the wine has been made and bottled under the laws of the governing board which sets the standards for the wine you've bought. Appellation Contrôlée, or controlled place name, literally sets a minimum standard for a given area. Some unscrupulous shippers and growers could fill their bottles with inferior wine and label it as a superior wine. These are judges at a wine tasting. Listen to the words and the comments they are using to attempt to describe the wines.
Vous êtes d'accord, M. Chavagnac?
Oui,
vous
avez... c'est un grand vin bien complet, avec assez de classe.
Qui a énormément de caractère, oui.
Nous sommes tous d'accord.
Allez.
Il y a de la race, c'est un très grand vin.
C'est racé, élégant, supple, complete, full-bodied, round, fleshy, beautiful color, well harmonized, the taste lingers. It is these words which makes the knowledge of fine wine such an aesthetic experience. The description of wine by these experts is purely literary and certainly not scientific. The only word with a remotely scientific flavor is tannin. The judges are detecting the tannic acid in the wine, that substance which gives the palate a certain pleasurable puckering. You see, wine tasting is the art of being precise, of translating into precise literary terms the act of sipping a little wine, keeping it to the tip of your tongue, breathing in air through your pursed lips, spewing it forth and making a judgment which really is a literary comment. For wine is a living thing. It breathes. It changes color. It is born, grows, ages, and dies. The judges must use humanistic terms as though they were judging a living thing, a racehorse, for example, or a beautiful woman. But I must not lead you to believe that science and wine have nothing to do with one another. Wine has been scientifically analyzed and has been discovered to be a wonderful food. Wine contains calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, and many other beneficial minerals and vitamins. Here's a scientist to talk about wine, my friend Dr. Maynard Amerine of the University of California.
You, who are one of the most eminent wine scientists of the world today, you're a professor of oenology at the University of California. Can you tell me whether, with all of the great know-how that exists today, one can reduce great wines such as those of Bordeaux, Burgundy, the Rhine, and the Moselle down to a chemical formula?
Oh, no, Alexis. Let me just answer the question by asking you, we know all about physics. We know about the physics of sound. We know the wavelengths of sound and so forth. And yet, who can explain the difference between Beethoven and Brahms, or even the difference between Beethoven's First Symphony and Second Symphony? So we don't even know nearly that much about the chemistry of wines. How can we tell you the difference between Chateau Lescamme and Chateau Margaux, or one chateau than another? At the present time, there are a little over 200 known compounds in wine. Each of these react with each other. That is, some make the smell of one less, some make the smell of one more. When you think of all the combinations of 200 compounds reacting together, the combinations are so tremendous, so many, that it's absolutely impossible for us to explain what makes one wine different than another in purely chemical terms. Now, we can tell you the difference between a bad wine and a good wine in purely chemical terms, because a wine that's got lots of vinegar in it, we can analyze for that. We can tell you what a thin wine is, it has no alcohol. We can tell you what a sweet wine is, that has sugar or doesn't have sugar. We can tell you a brandy that's hot because it has high aldehyde. We can tell you a brandy that's not very good because it has lots of fusel oil. There are a lot of things we can tell you chemically, but you ask the question, what makes the difference between a very great wine and differences between one great wine and another one? And we have no idea of that any more than we have the idea of why Beethoven's sound, the same kind of sound used by Brahms.
Or else you can even compare it to great painters, the same thing.
And they all use the same brushes, the same colors, and sometimes the same paints, but they make different kinds of painting.
I want you to know the names of the great vineyards of the Medoc, the greatest red wine growing district in the world. Chateau Margaux, Chateau Lascombe, Chateau Prieur-et-Lichine. A few miles northeast up the road from these vineyards is a village district which is known as Saint-Julien. Its wines are a little fuller than those of Margaux. In the Saint-Julien parish, the vineyard of Chateau Bechevel is perhaps the best known, and then there is Chateau du Cru Boucayou and the vineyards of Léoville-Lascars. Leaving the Saint-Julien vineyards, one travels north along the vineyard road toward Pauillac. The chateaus one passes read like a wine list. Chateau Latour, Chateau Pichon-Longueville, Chateau Mouton-Rothschild, and Chateau Lafitte-Rothschild. It was from Pauillac that almost 200 years ago, Lafayette set forth one dark night to journey to the far-off shores of America. I would like you to meet Baron Rothschild, my neighbor 20 miles to the north. Philippe, you who understand quality, what does it really consist of?
Quality in wines is very important. What does it depend on? Well, first, on nature. In nature, the first and essential element is the soil. And then, above the soil, there is the sky. And the quality of wine will always depend on what the sky decides. After nature, there comes man. The part of man is important. For man, it means a total care of every moment. Now, what does every moment mean? It means from the time you plant a stick in the soil, a stick which will be some years later a vine plant, until one day, many years after, the wine slips between your lips. And that means a long way to go. What are the factors on the way? They are numerous. It starts in the air, meaning the choice of the vine plant. There are many hundreds of different vine plants, and in our case, is limited to 4 or 5. Then the care the laborers have to take all on the year working in the vineyard. Of the cares, the most important is undoubtedly the pruning. The pruning has to be done as carefully as when you go to your manicure. After the long year's work comes the harvest. The harvest has to be done at the appropriate time. The harvest means picking the grapes and from the grapes make the wine. Then comes a long process, the nursing of the wine lying in oak barrels for 2 to 3 years. And the wine has to be nursed exactly as you would take care of a baby. Finally, when the wine is ready, then comes the bottling. The wine is then adolescent. And let me add then one more word. The wine is in bottle, then comes the labeling, which is the dressmaker's part. And finally, may I say that the quality of the wine will depend on the mood in which you will be when uncorking the bottle.
Philippe, wine and art have always been more than a hobby. As a matter of fact, they've been a pursuit of yours. How do they go together?
Well, Alexis, ever since dear old Noah started the process, wine has always been a cause of reverence, pride, of glory. It has always accompanied the great days of life. It has always taken part in all the great celebrations and festivities. Therefore, it has inspired the artists who wish to record either humanity or man at its best. Also, to give more value to this expression, to this superb support of wine, all through history, Wenerot has always created exceptional artistic vessels to drink the wine. They have been made in all the most precious materials, from gold to rock crystal and many others. All this has prompted me to make a collection, and this collection has now become the Mouton Museum, where one can see how the artist throughout the centuries has glorified wine and how they have made these remarkable vessels. I wouldn't say that you would personally like to drink in those rather intimidatingly heavy decorated goblets. But mind you, you might be jealous of those who did.